Podcasting 2.0 for October 15, 2021, episode 58. We got activity in the pub. That's all the work I have to do on Fridays. Just come up with the opening sentence, that's all. Hello, everybody. Time once again for Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on with Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org, the namespace, and, of course, the gossip and the latest going on at podcastindex.social. It is the only official board meeting, and you're all welcome. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the man who can bake a wallet with drop shadow in a heartbeat, my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, drop shadow, blink tag, marquee.
Blink tag. Ah, everybody's favorite, the blink tag.
Was marquee, wasn't that the one that, like, spun, like...
Yeah, didn't that scroll? Move? Didn't that scroll?
Yeah, scroll. Yeah, the horizontal scroll, yeah.
Yeah, that was the days of red GIF, red ball dot GIF. That's what it was, a red ball dot GIF.
Or the this page is under construction with the little
with
guy.
The little guy
the
working with a shovel. Yeah. Yes.
That's what that little guy should be on every single thing that we have right now. Under construction.
Yeah.
Under construction.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. Even corporate clients. Well, should we have an under construction page? Well, no. Yes. Let's get a real website up. No, we want an under construction page. Okay. That's what my kids say I should do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. And that lets everybody know you're working on it.
How you doing, Dave? Today's a tough day for you in real life.
Yeah, we're the firm I work for is tied to the accounting industry, so it's tax kind day.
Yeah, woohoo! Yeah. I went to the post office because last year's return that had really messed me up with the snow.
It messed everybody up. Nobody knew what was happening.
Yeah, with the snowmageddon. So they cashed our check, but they never acknowledged. Well, they acknowledged receipt of our filing, which I sent in on paper. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, and when we bought the house and they were doing, the typical background search, they said, well, you need to prove that you filed taxes the last 2 years. And I didn't have it for the last year. There was no proof. You can go to the irs.gov and get
the transcript.
Yeah, the transcript. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't exist. And that was a real hassle, but I was able to show the check that was cashed. And they said, well, that's okay then. When I wanted to file, I always do TurboTax, which is perfect for our situation. Mm-hmm. And, you have to have a correlation to last year's gross adjusted income. And that's an exact number. And that's how they match it, that you're filing properly and that it's you and a PIN code. And none of that crap works. So, all right, I'll print it out. Yeah, 100 pages, take it off to the P.O. box. And there's a whole bunch of people, and they're all there. Like, they all wanted tracking. They all wanted to see the postmark go on it. We're all laughing in line. Like, we don't trust these guys anymore.
Oh, man. It's like the IRS last year. They just left.
Yeah, they just gave up,
COVID
right?
hit. They were like, all right, we're going home. And everybody, oh, whoa, wait, what? Yeah. we actually have to still do things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a total mess, yeah.
Right, so this year is probably... quite a hassle still.
Yeah, it's just still, well, I mean, you got, it's PPP, there's CARES Act stuff, there's, there's healthcare, lots of healthcare money went out, in various ways. It's actually still going out, so you got to account for that. It's just, I'm not an accountant, but I hear enough accounting stuff to know that it's just been a complete headache, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people who, have been saying forever that, oh, well, you know what? You can, there'll be coming a day where you'll just be able to fill out your taxes on a postcard. Oh, yeah. And send it in. Yeah, sure.
As long as I've been alive, I've heard that one. Yeah, it should be just, just one postcard size, just chick, 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 chick. You're all good to go. No problem. Uh huh.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. That's what everybody was laughing because, some of the younger accountants, they're always afraid that, when they hear things like that, like so-and-so, this president is going to simplify the tax code. It's like, oh man, I'm worried about my job. And everybody's like, oh. you're green.
Oh yeah. I won't have a job. That's funny.
Yeah. We've heard this since the 60s.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bitcoin number go up like crazy.
Oh yeah, man. Is that thing?
It's on a chair. 60? Yeah. Let me check. My eyes are bad. Hold on. It's, 61,413.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's moving towards an ATH, babe.
Oh, yeah. What is the ATH? Is 63?
62.8 or something. I think 63, but it's already above the weekly top. So I think it'll probably, I mean, there's a resistance at 63 and a bit or something.
And, you sound so day trader-ish. I like this.
Well, this is what I did. I day traded for 2 years and I hated it. I mean, I actually loved the analysis because it was all technical trading. It was scalping, you know, like you held the stock for maybe a minute. Yeah. You know, and like, boom, okay, got the pop out.
You're using your Fibonacci's and your head and shoulders.
Way more than that. You've got the oscillating waves. You've got, I've forgotten so much, but I still have all my models. And so I have a couple of models applied to a weekly chart of Bitcoin. So I can see the main resistance levels and, you know, where it has to break through. And that stuff on Bitcoin is actually quite beautiful for technical analysis.
It's just pure data.
It is. It's just, you know, yeah, there's manipulation from people who are buying or selling, but that kind of, you know, there are models that know about that. So it's pretty good. And I don't trade. We've switched just to daily cost average, $100. That's it. Yeah. No big buys on dips or anything. Just every day. Boop, 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 boop. Just a little bit. And
that's kind of the way I do it. Every time once a month, I just
same thing. Yeah,
you know, buy whatever and whatever I'm comfortable with, and then like over time, you look back and you're like, oh wow, it's actually built up. You know.
Yeah. Well, how about the stats? The stats we've been stacking on the index.
Yeah, that's gonna. So, do you want to talk about the node that Tim set up with us?
Please.
I mean,
we have
no idea what we're doing with it.
No, yet, but it's going to be great. Why don't you explain what we're doing?
Well, so Tim at LNPay, he set us up a dedicated LNPay instance for the index. And so we've been working with him for a while on this to get it up and running. And he's got it up and running. We've got, you know, keys and everything set up. And the original idea was that we will help onboard people into LNPay, but it'll be our instance rather than his, and that'll let us do some interesting things, some more detailed type of stuff, and so this stuff specific to, you know, podcasting and what we're doing. And so the sort of blanket idea here is that on Podcaster Wallet, you will go in there and claim your feed, and then you'll be able to launch wallets for things like guests, that kind of thing in LNPay, but it'll be our instance of LNPay.
Okay, so as a new podcaster, you can also use this to sign up.
You would be able to,
sign, okay, that would make sense. So you sign up, so that's your podcast wallet, and then we can spin up stuff for guests and other things, and you can do that, I guess, kind of like an Uncle Bob type situation, right?
Uncle Bob.
I'm not saying Tom. Not I'm Bob. Saying not saying Uncle Tom for a reason.
Jim. It's Uncle Jim. Uncle Jim.
I'm sorry, Uncle Jim. I was just trying, don't say Tom. Don't say Bob's Tom. Your Bob. Uncle. Bob's your uncle. Exactly.
Well, it's, okay, so Jim. So that's why I went back and started working on Podcaster Wallet. Number one, we needed splits, a split editor.
Yeah.
And then also the ability to use custom key, custom value. That needed to be in there. But then it also just needed a little bit of revamping so that when we get ready to push this next phase out, which is the episode level splits, that would be the first instance of being able to use our node would be for somebody goes in and they have their claimed podcast, and then let's say that Sam and James have somebody on their show like Brian, and he has a node, and they could go in there. They control their own feed a little bit, but not on Podland, that's on Buzzsprout. So they would go in there to their dashboard on Podcaster Wallet and pull
list. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would go in there, they would publish their episode.
After publish, you publish the episode, and then you go into your little portal there, your podcaster wallet portal, the PWP.
Yeah, the PWP.
PWP. And then it'll suck in all the episodes. You'll be like, ah, okay, this episode, I need to add a split.
Yes. Yeah, and so then it would clone your existing value block to that episode and then open the split editor and allow you to add in an extra split. Now, you could do it as a custom node where you manually copy and paste the node ID in, or this other option would be to spin up an LNPay wallet.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then how do you give access to the guest to that wallet?
To be determined.
And now I have a split.
You weren't supposed to ask
and
that.
I have your money. Hey, have you seen, have you had a chance to actually mess around with CurioCaster's Jenny, the RSS Jenny?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
So the good news is you could just do it with any old feed, right? You can just, you know, bring up any podcast and you can say, open in an RSS editor and you can mess with it. You can totally, bootleg feeds. It's we haven't ever talked about
that's great.
Yeah, you can bootleg feeds real easy. But the reason I'd like you to do that is to see how he did his value block editor, because he does a lot of that, and you can clone over from your feed level. But he also has an auto calculator in there, so if you do a split versus a fee, and it makes sure you don't go over 100%.
Have you seen the podcaster wallet one? Have you logged in?
No, because I got the reset email and it says, you know, click here, and then it says we're sending you the password, and then I never get that one.
Oh, well,
but I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to. It's clearly you.
Yeah, it's me. I don't want to interact with you through email.
I know, it's obvious. If there's something wrong with you, DKIM.
DKIM.
Whatever. We'll have to figure this out.
Well, you got
to
get it. Yeah, I'll reset your password for you. And that way you can get it. You'll at least see it.
Yeah, before I criticize it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I wasn't criticizing because I haven't seen it. I just wanted to make sure that you had seen how Steven did it.
I have not seen how Steven does it. But I'm looking right now, actually, podcasting 2.0.
Now, I'm sure you've come up with something entirely similar. I guess that what I'm looking at is I'm like, holy crap, Steve did this work. How do I get Steven's code into your hands so you don't have to do it again?
It may be
two different in infrastructures. I'm just thinking pragmatically.
And I asked for that. I asked if anybody wanted to tackle sort of creating that UI.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I thought, well, really, it's one of those things where I ended up, there was so much integration stuff to go in on our. And part of this is because I don't use a declarative UI type language. So that means like something like React, where it's the declarative versus imperatives type of programming here. And declarative would be something like, I want a screen that looks like this.
Uh-huh.
And it has these parts and these inputs and these connectors. And this is what I want it to look like. You describe what you want the screen to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then the framework makes it happen.
Is that what React does?
That's the basics of React.
Mm-hmm.
And so then versus an imperative style, which would be, I want it to look like this, and I'm going to tell the framework every parameter, every single thing.
You prefer that method?
I don't really know what I prefer. I mean, the declarative part is stuff I've done. I've done declarative through YAML and C#, and I like it. And it's great up until a point. And I think it depends a lot on how much of a control freak you are, which I sort of am. If you're kind of a control nut and you want to just really be aware of every little piece that's happening at every moment, then programming your UI is probably more along the lines of the way your mind works versus letting the framework do a lot of the lift for you. But, you know, I really don't care in the grand scheme of things. I think I just got.
But did you get a drop shadow in
this other way? No drop shadow, no embossed.
You should just put a little red ball dot gif in there just for fun. I bet you I still have one.
No, I mean, I'm still using, you know, JavaScript stuff from 10 years ago. I'm so behind the times on front end things. Somebody would just laugh at everything I do. So
no, I won't laugh. I'm
definitely not going to compare notes.
This is phenomenal feature that you've created. How far along is it? Is it split editor's working, right?
Yeah, the split editor's working. So, next step will be to be able to add
the guest wallet.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, to be able to do the guest wallet, and that part will entail hooking into the LNPay node. You know, but then part of this is we have to talk all this stuff out with Eric, because we don't want to, before we start holding people's sats, we got to be sure on the business side, we know what we know what the plan is. Yeah. So I don't want to get ahead of him.
No kidding. Yeah.
So, hey, Eric, by the way, we have, you know, we're holding 10 million sats for people. And he's like, what? No.
Yeah. But we have all the data. we have the database. We know when it came in. No, this is indeed the issue. And I think to be even, you know, more as transparent as we are about it is, you know, we see all kinds of issues coming down the road. And the last thing we wanted is to not have anyone wanting, you know, or have people drop off, say, well, you know, this is kind of messy with this custodial versus non-custodial. So, you know, I think that's an outstanding role for Podcast Index, is to take something like that on and do what is legally possible and to make it work. And we'll see how bad that gets. I mean, that we have to KYC podcasters. Yeah, I'm like 99% sure that's going to have to happen. But
yeah.
Anything above that is going to be a, you know, and then it's like, okay, is the guest, we're holding it, so the guest is a part of the host, is a part of, you know, that paperwork is something I have no visibility over.
Yeah, well, you know, the other part of that is that we want to make sure that that LNPay is a thing that people can depend on for the long haul.
For sure.
So, for instance, a lot of our apps, they're using LNPay as their back end for their podcaster, for their listener wallets.
Exactly.
And we want to make sure that with Tim, so we're now a paying customer of Tim. You know, we're paying him each month to have a node, and that helps him to monetize and to be able to stick around.
Yeah.
And because before, I mean, Tim was doing this really out of the kindness of his heart, and because he's a geek and an enthusiast and he wanted to do it. But, you know, there comes a point where, you know, if you're holding, you know, 50 million sats, it becomes a business whether you want it to be or not.
Exactly.
And so we needed to give him, you know, the
breathing support.
Yeah. So we, you know, we're doing this really to say, okay, hey, you know, podcast apps, y'all can depend on LNPay to build on top of, rather than saying, you know, oh, okay, well, you know, hopefully Tim will be around.
Yeah. And hopefully Tim will be around. We like having him around. He's a fun guy to have around. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so that's where we're at. And hopefully we'll be able to do some things like one of the things that Podverse has been waiting on to implement, streaming sats is what they want is to be able to spin up a listener wallet in a way that where they give the listener their own credentials.
Mm-hmm.
So Podverse doesn't want to have to be the management portion of that.
Of course, yeah.
They want to create a wallet and then say, okay, here's your credentials. Now you can go to the LNPay dashboard and manage your own stuff.
Right.
And there's really no way to do that currently through Tim's LNPay instance. But that's something that we will be doing, is being able to back apps that want to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give them an interface to be able to make that happen. And that will allow Podverse to ship. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff on the radar screen.
Well, that'll also behoove PodStation, will it not?
Yeah, I think that would solve his problem too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love
because he was had the same type of deal. It's like, you know, look, I don't even want to. I don't even want to sniff a middleman. Yeah,
right? Exactly. Yeah, very cool. Now, okay. So along with this, you're doing all kinds of other work that involves ActivityPub.
Beginning that work, yeah.
What exactly so now that is this the chat, the cross app comments? Is this what exactly is that piece?
So this will be what we will implement as a proof of concept for the live stuff.
So excited. And Mo is freaking out. He's like, I can't wait. Oh yeah. He's like, I can't wait to pull everyone from YouTube. We're going to pull all of them. He's like, we got to put a lot of energy into YouTube, get everyone on the YouTube. Everyone's in the YouTube live. Then we're going to take them away. Yes, absolutely. Nice. We're going to take him away.
Well,
he says that part's easy. He's seen him do it with Odyssey and a number of other plays, Rumble even. He says, as long as you have it, they'll follow. They'll go.
I believe that. I totally believe that. If, as long as you make the experience similar enough to where it feels the same, you know, why wouldn't you? It's just a website.
Yeah. And you do both at the same time, you know, simulcast for a little bit, and then you just shut off the YouTube and then everyone's over.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is with the super chats, which, you know, we will have the boostergrams, the live boostergrams. That's where the action's at.
So the way that it'll happen, and this is my, at least initially, this is the vision here. And this code is somewhat framed in. I'm still sort of putting the last touches on the framework of this, is that what we will publish the feed. So like this week, when you go to publish after we record today, mm-hmm. you would put in the live item for the next following week. So right. You would put it in for, October or whatever.
I pre-publish it. Yeah. For the live date. Yeah. And is it a timestamp or full timestamp or just mm-hmm. a date?
No, it's full timestamp.
Okay.
So it'd be, you'd have a live item in there with a link to the no agenda stream.
Mm-hmm.
And then a pub date or a go live date as part of that live item that says, okay, at this moment, at this timestamp on this date, that's when we're going to go live.
And so then that goes into the Hive blockchain. It hits the index. The index pings the activity pub. That pings all of the apps.
Okay.
I just strung my own version together. Continue, please.
Okay. Something like that. Yes.
I knew I was close. Okay.
Pinging. Oh yes. But yes, all this things happen. Okay. So then you publish, then the apps will see, they'll see today's episode.
Oh, this is genius.
And they'll see the live item.
And so they set their own little timer, their own little internal, alert.
Yeah. So they'll see the timestamp and they'll see is an item that says it's going to go, there's going to be a live stream on this day at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be just there, and they can index it into the app and show it in some way. Then when it gets close to that time, to that timestamp, the app can begin to watch pod ping for the bat signal that happens to say that the live stream has actually started.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Because you want a timestamp in there.
Yeah. To be aware, to be on alert.
As a calendar entry, mm-hmm. sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you may not go on live exactly at that moment. You may have technical problems or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you at that moment, what you want to do is you just want to wait around and say, okay, I'm looking for the bat signal to tell me when to actually start streaming.
Right. So you're just watching Podping at that point.
Yes.
Yeah. So full Podping, because that's just flooding in.
Mm-hmm. You're watching it for a special right. pod ping that has that reason code in it, right. The live reason
mm-hmm.
code.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you can, like for our ends, for our proof of concept, what it'll be is the software that that I'm putting together will look at that and begin doing that. Then you will be able to go to that page. It'll be something like, you know, like live.podcastindex.org or something. You go to that page and when the stream goes live, it'll start up, and as another component to the live item tag in the RSS feed is a link
to the stream URL.
To the ActivityPub URL.
Oh.
Not the stream URL. Yeah, well, that'll be in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a link to a root item for the ActivityPub discussion.
How does that get created?
You could create it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm currently trying to figure out where's best to put it.
I guess the reason I'm asking is because I recall that being the main question. Who owns the root of the root node of the conversation?
And I think what I'm probably going to do is just create a false root node inside the software as a placeholder, because it really ultimately doesn't matter. It could be in any ActivityPub compliant system. So if you wanted to, you could create a root post on podcastindex.social. The only issue there is then you have to have people are interacting with it. They'll have to be able to tie their identities back to that somehow. So I'm thinking for ease of initial rollout here, I'll just create a fake root node within the software. And then as people go to the page, it will automatically create an identity for them. Sort of like the IRC does in the troll room.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll go in there and it says, what do you want your name to be?
Web577294.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll ask you what your name's going to be, store it in local storage or in a cookie. And so that if your browser closes and comes back, you're the same person. And then,
will it recognize my identity from podcastindex.social?
Well, that would be another step. So
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Like if we want to, eventually we'll do that connectivity.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to complicate it. Okay. So, the main issue of the root node being they who hold the root node can also delete it and
is the
control it. Yeah. Okay. That's the thing that some people don't like, and you've made a choice.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you have to be able to moderate. So it's just going to be for proof of concept, it's easier just to create a sort of fake internal nodes because then it'll be ActivityPub compliant. We can federate out. Somebody else can monitor, can look at those activities and then they'll federate. But, for simplicity, it'll all just be, internal to begin with.
And so for this, you will actually be doing this interaction on the page itself.
Yes.
And not within your app.
Yes. Initially, for this proof of concept, right, yes, because the page will sort of mimic what an app would do.
And where do the boostergrams show up?
Well, the boostergrams show up in the page as well. So there'll be this
nice
scrolling. My vision for this thing is it's a scrolling list of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them are ActivityPub stream comments, and those are going to be sort of like on the left.
Ah, and then the super chat or the boostergrams.
Those are going to be integrated in there in time stamps sprinkled in there on the right.
Oh, this is so good. People are like, how do I get in? How do I do that? How do I get into those things over there?
And those will come in from any app in real time.
Sexy.
In order to just simply chat, you would put, just type your chat into the box on the page.
Right, right, right.
To get a boostergram in, you boost through a boostergram app.
Now, of course, the web apps will have a lot more trouble notifying me that something is going on.
What do you mean, like going on?
Of notifying me, like waiting for the bat signal. If I don't have the web app open, it's not going to be waiting.
The backend server would be the one doing that work. So that if you just pulled the page up, it would already know. It would already be.
No, I understand, but I don't believe there's a way for Podfriend or CurioCaster to just notify me something's happening.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, you could turn on web notifications. I mean, that's
oh, that's true. Everybody hates them. Yeah. Or you know what? Just shoot me an email. I'll be happy to give an email address for that.
Or an ActivityPub notice.
Yeah. Or just ring my doorbell. Just like impress me. Come on, Martin. Come on, man. Show some initiative. Ring my doorbell.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazon can. Why can't you?
Yeah. What's your problem? Hey, what's up with Podfriend? Do we have a new beta out? Tina was in tears.
Yeah, he published.
Yeah. Tina's like, well, what happened? Podfriend is like, it's expired.
It's gone. Actually, it's gone.
She doesn't use that voice. Just, hey, talk to that Danish guy and get another version up.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't her either, but somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Just, no, I got a new version of it on my test flight.
Oh, okay. Hopefully she has that now then. She mentioned it to me yesterday. She's like, what's going on?
Yeah. We got a funny Instagram about that later.
This is very exciting, Dave. Thank you for doing all this work. This is what I've really been dreaming of for this to happen. We're really getting down to some brass tacks. And with this live stuff, what a super bonus to anything that we could have imagined. There's just so much good thinking going on about this.
Alice Gates is the master of these protocols, and so I've really been relying on him and his advice to get it all put together, because what it'll be on the back end, it'll be activity pub management going on the server side, and then but what communicates with the browser will be a gRPC client. And so that's going to be here's my initial design idea. I'm just going to take the Podping code, the code for the front end of Podping that accepts the GET requests and all that. And take that, cause this build it's a single Rust executable. Take that and put in the gRPC support. So then what it'll do is that code will act as the web server serving the page, and then it'll be serving GET requests when people come to the page and give you the initial HTML. Then it will also be running a gRPC server, and then there will be a web gRPC client on the HTML page.
They'll just refresh.
It'll be streaming.
It'll be a live stream. Real time. Cool. Yeah.
Real time stream. It's just an open connection that's constant.
Might as well surface a player on that page just in case.
Yeah, there's already one on it.
Okay.
Yeah, good. in the test code.
Okay. Good.
So that'll be what I want, and the reason I'm doing all that is because we've already got all the HTTP stuff built in a nice Rust executable, so we don't have to worry about security problems.
I love a nice Rust executable. Had that for breakfast.
So do I.
with some fig jam.
You know what? Fig jelly or fig jam is actually really good.
I got some strawberry jam, and it had pepper in it, peppers, jalapeno peppers.
Oh, I love pepper jelly.
Pepper jelly, but oh my God.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh, especially if I'm a peanut butter and jelly kind of guy. That's like, it's 10:30 at night. I'm hungry. I'm going to have peanut butter and jelly on a hamburger bun. Of course, this may coincide with smoking of some flowers. So, like, I need a peanut butter. And then I bought this stuff. It's like, whoa! I'm just sitting there. This is
okay. So
we didn't have that as a kid.
The best way to do pepper jelly is, yeah, you do
mainline, just straight into the artery.
No, that's a bad idea. Unless you have nothing to do the rest of the day on the bathroom, you go with a Triscuit and then a little bit of cream cheese on top and a little bit of pepper jelly.
Ooh.
Oh, it's brutal.
Now, I think I would substitute the Triscuit for a Ritz cracker.
That is a better idea.
It'll kill me quicker, but
You know, I don't know if this is just an American thing, but do you know the cracker called Chicken and a Biscuit?
No, I don't.
Okay, look for it in the store. It's just called Chicken and a Biscuit. It's like a little rectangular shaped Ritz cracker thing, but it's got some seasoning on it. Oh, that's good stuff right there.
Is it thin?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it looks kind of like a Ritz cracker, but it's rectangular. Yeah. Chicken and a biscuit, baby.
Oh, I see it here. Oh, my goodness. The chicken and biscuit, original baked snack crackers. Wow. That's from Nabisco.
Oh, well, that, you know, that, that deserves you to play ISO Alabama.
Alabama of all places.
Yeah. What about Alabama of all places?
Yep. That's
where you got your chicken and a biscuit.
Yeah, you nice. Can play Texas while you're there, ISO Texas.
Of course, Texas.
You know who Texas. That is?
Let me listen.
Of course, Texas. Of course, Texas.
No.
Jen Briney.
Oh, and then she's, I'm going to have a talk with her then. Sounds like it was one of those, of course, the racists in Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
She said that, yeah. And
how about Alabama?
Alabama and those Texas.
Dumb fucks in
Alabama of all places.
Mm-hmm, where they're dumb. And then
she was talking about Alabama having an electric ferry, not gas powered ferry. Like
of all
like
places, because y'all are just rednecks. You like your rolling coal. You ain't gonna use no electric things.
Yeah, because everybody knows we're a bunch of dumbasses.
That's right. Here. You're just eating your chicken and a biscuit.
Sometimes I forget to eat because I'm just eating hay all the time.
Too busy with my horse dewormer. Got nothing better to do.
on a chicken on a biscuit.
I got my horse dewormer. I'm a chicken and a biscuit. That's right. Hey, all I know is a lot of people I know in Australia are thinking Texas looks pretty good right now. They're having real conversations about it. Like, should we go live in hill country? That sounds better than what's going on here.
Adam, can you get us green cards or passports?
I've done a lot of those, actually. I don't think you can do it anymore. It's crazy now. You can't get appointments. And
well, no, you can't do it. You just walk in through the border. So, you know, I mean,
no, that's the way to go. I finally got, my daughter was in passport jail for 10 years. You know, she had a passport. She lost a passport, got a new one issued when she was in Los Angeles. Bless you. And and then one was stolen, like within a year of each other. And they said, and then in order to get her new passport, I had to get her documentation from her grade school. You know, like papers. Jeez. Oh, yeah. No, they were being a-holes about it. And in a way, it's like, okay, dumbass, how can you lose and get your passport? Just dumb. This is dumb kids. And she learned her lesson. Because for 10 years, they would only give her a one-year passport. And so now she's in this system where they're just like automatically one year, not going to do anything. And I'm looking at the situation of the world. I said, I want you to have a valid passport, an American passport. She has a Dutch one. So you should have a valid one that is good, you know, if you need to move around for some reason. You never know what's going to happen. And so I had to backdoor it. I had to go through my Dutch military contacts to talk to the ambassador, to talk to the embassy, to talk to the council thing or whatever. And it worked, but holy crap, it was not easy.
You end up in Mark Ritter's bathroom for some reason.
Hey, they say a lot of weird things about him, so no. I hope not.
You're like, look, babe, you just have to deal with the one-year passport, okay?
Yeah, we'll take care of it. That's very exciting. I'm anticipating that. Do you have kind of a timeline? Couple weeks, month?
Yeah.
Oh, who knows? Whatever, right?
Yeah, who the hell knows? Yeah. I mean, like, I would say that it's going to be the coding is not going to take as long as I had originally thought because
you're that
I
good
know now that I can yeah, right. Because I can repurpose that Podbean code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to really save a lot of stuff. The other thing is I haven't written Rust in 6 months. So I gotta learn, you know, get my chops back on that. But I don't think it'll be too bad. The good thing about ActivityPub is now that I understand it, it's actually very easy. I mean, it's weird, but it's easy. ActivityPub is one of these things where it's got this weird learning curve to it, where when you first start reading about it, it seems easy. And then you start looking, you read the spec and the spec is like, oh, this makes sense. And then you start looking at it in practice and you're like, what is this thing doing? Like what's happening here? But then as soon as you actually put some code in there and see how it responds, you're like, oh, it is as easy as I thought it was. It's just weird. Like, I don't know. It's a strange protocol.
So it's,
and it doesn't
it's,
help that Mastodon, like, you know,
does it differently. Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because I'm kind of, you know, like semi-committed to this El Salvador trip.
You're going.
I'm sorry?
You're going, right?
You know, it's yeah, but I'm a little concerned because I don't know if, I mean, I'll go, but will any aircraft go?
You know, I don't know.
Because this is November, I think, 15th through 18th, which works perfectly because it's during the week and I would only have to do one show on the 18th from there, and then I could fly back. Well, no, I'd probably have to do two shows, a Thursday No Agenda and this show Friday, so I'd leave Saturday, which I would have left anyway. But that'll be the 19th, and all vaccine mandates, I think, are solid by November 18th. And you know, an American is what I would prefer to fly, and that's they're already canceling flights left and right from
bailing. Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is the pilot strike. That's not really a pilot strike. Wink, nudge.
I'm not too worried about sitting around to get there, but what if I can't get back?
Yep.
That's gonna be a problem. Of all places to be stuck, I just don't want to be stuck in El Salvador. Now, I would be stuck there with Roy.
That'd be fun.
I think Roy and I would paint the town.
I think Roy knows how to have a good time in El Salvador. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, no, he's already selected the hotel. This is where we're staying. This is where you want to be. Okay.
My favorite part of the Miami trip with Roy was that his credit card got declined
because
it was an international transaction for the Uber. And so then he gets on Breeze and does Bit Refill
and gets an Uber card
through Bit Refill and has an Uber within like 10 minutes.
Yep.
I was like, man, you're a master.
That was slick. And ever since that time, I have a sufficient stack of sats on my Breeze wallet.
It's a great idea.
I saw that one function. You know, I got several wallets and, you know, all kinds of stuff that they can do. But yeah, Breeze is... It's still a super duper real wallet, and it really is your wallet. You know, it's non-custodial.
Still blows my mind how it's a full L&D node on a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so crazy, man.
Yeah, they're doing
Those guys are brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I think they're doing all kinds of stuff on the back end, and I had a nice chat with Roy, and he caught me up on the latest gossip, what's happening, what's going on in Lightning Labs land, and, you know, there's so many different things and people, and it's just, you know, there's always something happening. So,
yeah.
You know, the fact that this conference in El Salvador is a Lightning specific conference, I think that's good. And he said he would get me on a panel. So I want to be, put me on Roy's panel. I'd chat. Yeah. We can chat some stuff. It'd be fun.
And I really want to, you know, like, I really wish I
Anita
could
Pasha is going to be there. And, hold on, let me see. What's it called?
Oh yeah. Anita. That's, it'd be great to shake her hand and see her in person.
Yeah. Let me see. What's it called again? The Lightning Summit. Adopting Bitcoin. Adopting Bitcoin. Lightning Summit 2021. Speakers. Okay, who do we have? Anita Posh, we know her. Who else is going to be there?
Yeah, who are the speakers?
Yeah, I'm looking. Christian Rotsol. He's Raspy Blitz guy. I'd love to meet him. Since I'm running my family finances. Ryan go? Don't know if Ryan's. Oh, you know what? I think a lot of the American execs are not going because they're all afraid for security reasons.
Oh, like executive kidnapping.
Whatever.
What happens if you get kidnapped? Do we have key man insurance on you?
Do you have the keys? Forget key man insurance. You got all the passwords.
Do you need seed words?
You have most of the passwords, I think, to everything. Oh, Paul Etoy's going to be there. There you go.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. Yeah, they, you know, Sphinx just redid their UI.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's on the beta.
Are they still using L&D or are they using Sea Lightning? Stefan Levera is going to be there.
I would like to meet him one day. I think he's a really good guy.
Yeah. I wish we could go together.
Yeah, I really wish I could go. I've got to be out of town.
Okay, here's the exchange. Here's the exchange between Adam and Dave. Hey, I think I'm going to go to El Salvador. Ah, it'd be a great trip. When? 15th through 18th. Ah, it's too bad. I'm leaving on the 21st for a couple of days. So, well, it's not then. You can go before then. And then I thought, oh, wait, Dave has a job. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, I should take days off.
That was your text. You said, oh, wait, you have a job.
I didn't mean it to sound like that. Like, oh, shit, you have a job. I'm an idiot. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. We have this thing called vacation that we need to do.
Yeah. You're really? Because that's something I'm not very familiar with.
Yeah, no.
I got one year, maybe 1 week a year or something, but I'm not complaining. Not complaining at all. Brian of London, man. What a great job he did explaining Podping on the Podland podcast.
He did. Yeah. He did. Did you listen to the after party?
Yes. Yeah. I did. And I just wanted to say, you know, I should probably go back and look and listen to it, but I thought what I said about the it was like, "Oh, you slagged this guy off. You didn't give him his what was it? Dennis, what's his name?"
No, Chris.
Chris. Yeah, Chris.
Dennis. Yeah, Dennis Messina.
I'm horrible with names. Chris. I was relating my perspective from then, the way it was perceived then. I think I even said, what did I know? So I'm not trying to disparage anybody.
Yeah.
But maybe it came out. Maybe I was. I don't know. But I didn't mean to disparage anybody. I just, that's what I remember then.
You're a dick. Just admit it.
Yes, I'm a dick. There you go. Done. Really? I try not to be a dick.
No, I'm just kidding.
And then who did this new Podping stats thing? You seen that?
Stats?
Yeah, it's the new Podping watcher.
Are you talking about what Ryan Hirsch put together, where it shows the like the charts, or are you talking about the PodTrack data of like who the new episode data?
No, this is watch. It's just it appears to be a new. It's a new Podping watcher.
I don't know that I've seen this.
Hold on a second. Who posted?
Is it
this?
Just from today?
I think yesterday I picked it up. It was someone posted it. Hold on a second. Let me see. I'll be able to find this real quick because I boosted it. I can find a boost. Seekin' Truth just threw together a Podping podcast player as a shiny app. Not much of a player, just a list of all feed URLs. But it's a different Podping watcher, but it has a couple different features with a search and some other things. And
I miss that.
I kind of like, I just sit there and go, I'd like seeing that stuff refresh before my very eyes.
Oh man, I missed a lot of posts on the podcast index.
Yeah, you got to go to the local feed from time to time just to pick up some of the stuff.
I went to bed late. So
did you see the boostagram? Is there a title for this? Just the boostagram names that we have.
Boostagram.
We have the numbers. So who put this together? Gary Arndt, I think. Did he put this together? Yeah. So he has 200, 200, the Mendoza line boost, 300, the Spartan boost, 315, the Caesar boost, 420, a Stoner boost, 500, Indy boost, 666, Satan boost, 755, the Hank Aaron boost, 958, Usain Bolt boost, 1004 trucker boost, 1034 riot boost, 1066 a Norman boost. Let's see some of the others here. 1776 a Liberty boost, a Prince boost, of course, 1999. There's your Rush boost at 2112.
Yeah, oh yeah, baby.
We got the Van Halen 5150. We got the Mile High 5280. The High Five 5555. Yeah, High Five is good. The Boob boost 8008. Yeah. The Usher boost, which is disgusting, 8701. The Wilt Chamberlain, which is 10K.
That's like the chicks. I guess.
Beverly Hills, which is 90210. The Google, which is 376606. And then my favorite, the Jenny boost, which is 8675309.
That's awesome.
You got to be kind of old to get that one, but I love that.
What's
man.
The Google one? 376606? What is that?
Isn't that the Goog number?
I don't know.
It's backwards. Google.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay. So yeah. That should be like, 600. Oh, I think there's a mess. I think
oh, mistake. They messed it up. It should be 6006. Yep.
Yeah, 376006.
Denied. Denied. Denied.
This is a this chart has a bug.
Bombshell. It's a bug.
Boosh. I'm going to do a pull request.
Yeah, pull request on this list, please.
speaking of data, did you see the stuff about indie apps losing market share?
Okay, I can't look at this because the minute someone says indie apps, I'm already mad. And I lose all sense of, I can't think straight. I'm mad. I'm like, shut up. This is not indie podcast. It blow me. It makes me mad. And I can't think straight. But also,
I can't hear you say shut up without, why you are raffing? It's every time. I'm
just so shut up. Why you raffing? Don't raff.
Yeah, no. I know what you're talking about. But I mean, you know, so me and James and Spurlock went back and forth about this a little bit. And I don't think, you know, let me just say this. I don't want this to be true. So, I mean, I'm admitting my bias here. I don't want this data. I don't want this data to be accurate. So but it doesn't mean it's not, but I guess what I would say is that for any kind of data like this, it's never going to tell the whole picture. And I don't think James would be saying that anyway. I don't think he would say that it does. I guess this is, regardless of how much of the industry it represents and that kind of thing, the idea that we could know, and like I said, I'm not saying that this is what James is saying. This is just what I'm saying, because I guess what bothers me about data like this going out is that it, no matter how many qualifiers you put on it, some people are going to look at it and say, okay, that's the whole story. And I hate that because it's really not. I mean, like this really could just saying one piece of the entire fragmented open RSS ecosystem, and it's fragmented in a good way. So if you're only looking at, you know, this one piece, you're never going to get an accurate picture of what's actually going on. And if you look at it, so yeah, you know, for instance, what Spurlock pulled together was great because it shows, I'm not going to even consider how much of a percentage of the overall episodes it was, but for what he pulled together was all the new episodes in September. If you look at them, how many of them redirected through PodTrack? So how many of them had a redirect on an enclosure that had PodTrack somewhere in the redirect chain? And so he shows that Megaphone had 20% of those redirects. So if you look at the top, it's Megaphone at roughly 20%, OmniStudio at 15%, Spreaker at 14%, SoundCloud at 7%, and so then it finishes out with Knox, Futuri, Libsyn, Akamai, Simplecast, and R19. So that's the top 10. That represents almost all of it. And if you look at that data, what you miss is the fact that, I mean, there's hardly anybody in there in the top 10 of hosts using PodTrack of known big hosts like Buzzsprout, Blueberry, those guys. They're really not even represented much in there. So to me, what this data looks like to me is these are shows that are mostly using PodTrack, are shows that really, these are podcast consultant shows. Let me try to put it that way. These are shows that want to highly track their audience for advertising, for aggressive advertising. But they're not huge ones in the sense that this isn't No Agenda. It's not Accidental Tech. There's significant traffic out there that is being not included in this data.
I was surprised to learn that the top 1% of all podcasts do over 35,000 downloads per episode. Holy crap, that's nothing compared to what No Agenda pushes.
No, y'all are on a, the best we can figure out is y'all are pushing a million downloads a week.
But now I'm confused because we're talking about two different things. The measurements that were done, the way I understand it for this survey, were done by utilizing PodTrack tracking, correct? That's how the data was created. Okay. I don't see how that's relevant to which app was being used. And what
I think it is. Well, I think it is relevant.
But let me explain why.
Okay.
We received from an indie app 500,000 Satoshis last week, over $300 today from one app. Which app delivered that to any of these so-called consultants using PodTrack for one show? Do you understand my point? It's not relevant. This is no, that's what I'm trying to say. It's to me personally, I don't care. I'm seeing that I don't care if it's only 1,000 people, 1,000 shows. Right now we have 2,300, I think, value for value enabled podcasts. Those podcasts are going to bring more value to themselves and the ecosystem they're using than a multiple factor of all the other so-called non-indie podcast apps. I just don't understand the relevance. The future is not who has the biggest podcast. The future is who can utilize the podcasting tools that we're developing to create a better, more valuable network for themselves between their listeners and or audience, whatever you want to call it, producers and the podcast. It's not interesting to be on. You know, that more people on Apple are using it. There's no benefit. It's like, okay, whatever. If people are listening and they care about you and you say, please use one of these 10 other apps because that's going to keep it going, they'll switch. But anything else is just, oh, okay, whatever. If these apps aren't making money for the developers and the podcasters using them, then yeah, they'll go away. But I see the opposite happening. I see a consistent increase. Every value for value podcast that is added is money in the bank for people. Guaranteed from day one, the minute you try it out.
Yeah. Now I see what you're making that broader sort of long-term
of course
argument, yeah. You know, and I agree 100% with that. I also think that what this data shows to me is that a podcast that's going to use PodTrack is probably also a show that is going to be motivated by going to the biggest platforms. Is that fair to say?
Oh, I think that's very fair to say. These are people who care about being in the top 10 list and have people game the comments and everything. And please do the, yeah, of course. Now, let me say it right now. That's the YouTube game. And the YouTube game only works when you have algorithms. So, you know, where are they trying to game it? The algorithms over at iTunes or, you know, the Spotify list or whatever. So, okay, yeah, that's fine. That, to me, that's podcasting 1.0. That's how we learned to do it the first way around. That's why the minute I hear us, and I'm saying collectively us, being put into indie podcasters or indie podcast apps, wherever that source is from that coming, I'm just like, I'm shutting you off because that's not productive. Not that I don't appreciate people looking at it and understanding the overall industry, but man, I'm pretty skeptical about, you know, everything I'm reading now, particularly Spotify stuff and Apple. Yeah, maybe they're gaining, maybe they're not, but they don't care. So they don't care. Over here, Podcast Index, we care. We're going to care to build new things and make better stuff. They don't care. So whatever. Stop writing about them.
I don't think Spotify cares either.
No, of course they don't care. No.
Here's my latest thinking on this because somebody said the other day on the index, on the Mastodon, that they were surprised at how easy Anchor made it to leave, to export their feed data out. And, you know, I thought, it kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, you know, that's That is interesting. They've already said that they're going to shut off RSS feeds for new anchor for new RSS feeds,
or not enable them would be the technically correct way to say
it. You have to opt in. You have to opt in. 90% of the anchor catalog is garbage. We all know that. I think that they can't wait to get out of the RSS game. I think they are looking to close the door on RSS, and they just want to get out of that game altogether because they understand for them, it's not a moneymaker. It's a cost center for them. I mean, Anchor cannot be making any money. None. And so, you know, I was thinking about that when I read, that was sort of the backdrop of reading this Wired article, this Spotify's breaking podcast. I don't know if you read that.
Of course I did. Of course I'm just amazed by the things that people think and are saying.
This was my favorite part of the article. It says, then along came Spotify. Stoller argues that the company is trying to pull off the same power grab as Google and Facebook. Take control of the advertising and distribution process and control and monetize the entire ecosystem through targeted advertising, a process known as streaming ad insertion. This grab would destroy the current open system because the only viable way to get listeners and money would be through Spotify.
Yep. Well, I liked a different part. Closed loops, referring to what you just said, mixed with a situation where the primary stakeholder is an advertiser, creates a race to the bottom, which is terrible for the consumer and for creativity more generally. When the advertiser is the stakeholder, how do you extract value from the big money you're spending? Well, you go toward tried and true content, which is mostly, but not entirely, true crime and celebrity. And that's it. You reduce creativity. That's why I've always said you cannot monetize the network. That's why I left my own company. What I was doing was building NASCARs, and I had to put all the logos over the windscreen. Thank you. When I left, that's why I said I was leaving. They're like, what? What did Adam just say?
Because no appreciation.
Yeah, you have to be brand safe and. That's where all the leverage comes from with the cancel culture. It's a sick ecosystem. It doesn't work.
There's a clip in here, and I think I misspelled it. It's Hassan. It's supposed to be Hassan. I think I said Hassassin.
Yeah, I got
part
Hassan.
One. Part one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah?
No, go for it.
Okay.
The thing that I found very interesting since I started podcasting is when I tell people that I do it, one of the first things they ask me is, are you making any money? How are you making money? Are you monetizing it? And I don't know if it's because it's linked to the career that I had before, but I find it very interesting that people immediately jump on, are you earning any money? And they can't understand why I would just do it as a hobby and just want to create free content for entertainment for people to listen to. Nobody asks golfers who spend £60-70 a month on their golf membership with their £200-300 golf clubs who go and spend 4 or 5 hours every weekend playing golf. Nobody says to them, well, you're spending all this money playing golf. How are you monetizing it? How are you making money from it? Or people that mountain bike, who spend hundreds on mountain bikes, or photography. I guess maybe people might be able to monetize photography, but you get my gist. These are hobbies that people do. They spend significant amounts of money on it and they get nothing back from it financially. And I'm not spending anywhere near £60-70 for golf. It's relatively cheap to podcast. But I find it very interesting that people immediately jump on, how are you monetizing this? How are you doing it? And I don't know if that's just because within the podcast community, there's a lot of people who have a podcast as a sales funnel for their business. And so monetization is very important to them. I've actually found it quite a struggle to chat with other people within the podcasting community who just do it for entertainment, who just do it for fun and who aren't concerned about monetizing, that are operating at the kind of scale that I am, which I just find very, interesting.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I think this was the best interview that they've ever done.
Who was this?
This was on Podland yesterday.
Yeah, but was
Sam Seth, the interviewer. Her name was Genevieve Hassan.
Ah, okay. Yes, Genevieve.
Yeah. I loved every bit of this interview because this is a woman who is literally losing money on her podcast. But then now she's gotten her podcast is now featured on Virgin Atlantic.
Right.
And she did it. She's in it purely for the hobby, purely for the love of doing it. And this perfectly illustrates a lot of things, but to me, it illustrates most importantly, why the podcast industry is different from it's almost unique in this aspect. We know that 47% of people roughly podcast just for the love of doing it. They don't care about making money. It's just purely the love of being able to broadcast themselves freely over the internet for other people to hear. It gives them enjoyment. They love it. I mean, and so think of can't think of another industry where literally half of the entire participants in the industry don't care about making money, and the other half only cares about making money, or not only, but is consumed with the idea of making money.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sort of inherently schizophrenic industry when it comes to a business plan. But from a human freedom aspect,
well, is that any different?
It's wonderful.
Is it any different from the music industry? There are a lot of musicians who just play because they like playing.
I guess it's different to me in my mind because when you go out there, you can't tell a difference. Like if I listen to Genevieve's podcast, and then I listen to Dax Shepard. You can't tell that one of them is making a few million dollars a year and the other one makes nothing.
Isn't that great? I love that.
They're both on the same screen and I can click and listen to either one of them with one click.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really the case for music so much. I mean, it is
true.
A little bit
true.
If you take in Spotify, but historically speaking, this is to me uniquely tied a podcasting thing.
But that's why I believe that value for value is not a monetization model. It's something else. It's building a connection with the people on the other end. You know, we are now as a group developing this feedback loop into something that's going to be really important. I can feel in my bones how big this is going to be. And so you can still be, I love what I do. I love this show. I love I look forward to it. It's like, I get to do the show. And I don't have to worry about a single thing other than holding myself accountable to people who are listening, who hold me accountable. And you, of course, obviously. That's it. But then to get something in return, That just makes it an entire beautiful human experience.
I love how this has to drive big tech crazy.
Yeah. Well, they've been trying to steal it from us for, 20 years. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it drives them crazy. It's such a beautiful expression. Podcasting is such a beautiful expression of human action and freedom of association. It's a thing that, really it does from a media standpoint what Bitcoin does from a financial standpoint.
And then we had this really interesting hybrid pop up, which was another very interesting human experience between people. We both know all of them. We don't know where they live. We probably don't really know their real names. They have names like Booberry and Thunder Road and Sir Spencer and I think one or two of them I only know by their node ID. And now we have put together a financial relationship based on trust and cooperation. Should I play this jingle? Because I presume that's what this is for.
Yeah, go for it.
I fell into a podcast ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
It burns, burns, burns. The Ring of Fire. Podcast Ring of Fire.
Nice.
So,
Abel Kirby.
So this Abel Kirby's been doing great stuff for years. Explain the Ring of Fire.
Oh, no, I think you should explain the Ring
of Fire. Well, this was new to me as well.
You understand it better than I do.
It was new to me as well. The idea is you create a ring, so a ring of channels between, we have six, between six people who have a node, and these happen to be all podcasters who have nodes. And you take a significant amount. What did we do? 500,000 sats? Was that what we did? And so you each open a channel to the next person in the ring. And once we figured out, you know, which was our right hand and our left hand, Dave.
Hey.
You opened it the wrong direction.
No, I opened a private channel by accident.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You opened a private channel. Okay. Now that can happen. That can happen. Once we had that all figured out, and then, did Abel who pushed all the sats through? Who started that?
Was that Sir Spencer? I think it was.
It was my Sir Spencer. And so he pushes it through, routing through all of these nodes, so everybody winds up with a almost perfectly balanced 500,000 Satoshi channel, which by definition, because of all the other connections we have individually, really makes us a great place for traffic to flow through. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, maybe is anyone planning, do you think we'll make money on fees, on forwarding fees, or is it just, I mean,
I don't know.
It's just having great liquidity and I like doing it. I don't know what else I do with it. Like, yeah, we got a Ring of Fire. Okay. Yeah.
Yay. Cool. Ring of Fire.
Yeah. Well, that, it does mean you always have liquidity.
Well, and I think that, we're all well connected nodes. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all got sort of fingers going off the Ring of Fire out to other nodes. So I think there's a good chance that we'll get forwarding going through us. You know, that's something that I think that's something I need to address with what Brian of London said about Lightning on his interview, is that a couple of things. It doesn't matter. You know, he talked a lot about what if Visa shows up and has, you know, $5 billion. And
yeah, stick to things you know, Brian.
Yeah. And sucks a bunch of routing in. Who cares? That's completely irrelevant. It means nothing. If they do that and they drop their fees to zero and suck in all the routing, that's fantastic. I highly encourage them to do that. They're going to make no money off of it. And it gives everybody awesome liquidity. And if they pull out and decide to pull out, the network just routes around and does everything else. It means it's completely meaningless because every transaction within Lightning is an encrypted hop, and so it gains them nothing to do that because they don't get any visibility into the encryption. Right. They still can't see where the things come and where they go. So
right.
it's not an issue. It's a non-issue. The other thing was that, you know, Strike gets a lot of flack, but you have to remember they're a bank.
Yeah.
When you set up a Strike account, you're setting up a bank account. It's just like PayPal. So they have regulations that they have to adhere to, KYC and all that kind of jazz. So, you know, when it comes to these other countries and other regions and that kind of thing, it's just going to take time. I mean, like what I wish would happen from a Strike standpoint, I wish that other companies that are not Strike in Australia, there needs to be a company in Australia doing what Strike does. There needs to be a Strike clone company that comes up and just does what they do. And then another one in Europe, another one in South America. I mean, there needs to be more of these companies instead of just waiting around for one company to go do it all.
I think that, but I think we definitely need a parallel. We need Uncle Jim nodes. We need a lot of that. I think you have to have that. You need to have the nerdy kid who's going to set up the Mastodon server for his kid, his friends, right?
Yeah.
You need that. You need the nerd who set up the BBS and had the five phone lines. I mean, I can just keep going back in tech history. You know, you needed the guy who had the shell account that you could, you know, tunnel into. I mean, just, you go on and on and on and on. So I think, yeah. I think it's important to have that at the same time, which is, you know, that's kind of what Raspi Blitz and Umbral are doing. I don't know.
Having that fiat, the thing that makes Strike so beautiful is that you deposit in fiat and it stays in fiat until you move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful piece of it. It's a fiat to crypto gateway that you don't have, but you're not, but it's not an exchange.
Can you go the other way with BitRefill? Can you take something out of BitRefill and then back to Lightning? I think you can. Because
I don't know.
I think you can go to BitRefill because, you know, the big secret of BitRefill is that you have a dollar wallet in there. So you can park funds and you park it in there and it just shows in dollars and it just stays dollars like that forever. And then you can take them out.
That's right, yeah.
Right. But let me just see. Can you put in from fiat into BitRefill into your dollar wallet? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll have to figure it out. Because that could be an interesting way of doing it. Lightning. Let me see. Lightning. Here it is. Can you go both ways? All right. I'll have to figure it out. Anyway, yeah, I mean, there's a barrier to entry. No doubt about it. There's a barrier. But, you know, people are getting interested. I remember, go to my webpage, find the little RSS orange icon, right-click on it, copy the link, then Alt-Tab, and now go to the plus thing and then paste it, and now you're subscribed. And I remember the months and months. I remember when, you know, Apple has one-click subscription. They've won forever. You know, none of it's true. Just no one wins forever in this game. It just seems that way.
That's what I was saying earlier.
At least
it drives the big tech crazy because they can't own it.
And maybe it was on Podland that all of Google's money, it's all advertising.
Brian was saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all advertising. They don't make any, they lose money on a lot of other things, I'm sure. And advertising is becoming unpopular. This is why I say Hollywood is as good as dead.
That's an issue. Play the Hassan part two. I think she has some good things to say.
I'm just going to obviously continue making the podcast for as long as people want to listen to it, for as long as I'm able to have guests who are happy to be on it. When I had Wobble last year, it got to the point where I was like,
I thought it was. Oh. She talked a little bit at one part about how the latest data shows that older, like, you know, Gen X and up don't want to pay for content, for media content, but then the younger generations, they're fine with paying for it. They feel like it's normal. I think that falls into this discussion too.
Uh-huh, sure. Yes, what is this clip you have here, which is triggering me?
What is, I don't know.
Coder Radio Indie Apps?
Yeah, this is a good clip. This is a really good clip.
Is it going to trigger me? Okay. All right.
Pull the trigger. Do it.
I know. Well, Spotify did hit me up with.
Where's this from?
This is from a podcast called Coder Radio, and this guy's name is Chris Fisher. Chris Fisher. He's talking about Spotify. You know, play it. You'll get a sense. All right.
I know. Well, Spotify did hit me up with a proposal. It was like super low ad rates, but it was like guaranteed 3 ads a show. And you get access to our music library. And I went, what? Let me think about that. But no, I'm not. No.
Wait. To like do a DJ show?
Yeah, no, but you could. But yeah, like if you use their, so you have to switch your publishing platform. You have to switch to their feed servers and all that kind of stuff. But if you publish through, I'm not sure about this. I think you can still have a public RSS feed, but you have to publish through their system. But if you do that, they give you license like a radio station to their music library. So you could do a DJ show, or we could have, like, you know, your favorite song as our intro music, that kind of thing. But you have to sell your soul. They own you. They own the content, and they own all the ad deals, and they give you a very small cut. But they give you a lot of small cuts.
I mean, have you ever read the Apple developer agreement? The soul's already got a couple markers on it.
I know. And Twitch is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
YouTube is going down its dark route. I tell you, it is the only thing that's really going to save podcasting is if listeners continue to use and insist they use their own podcast apps, their favorite podcast app. If they use these, you know, and we have people listening on Spotify, and I am grateful they listen, especially if it's the best way or only way for you to listen. But the best thing you could do is subscribe to the show at coder.show/subscribe in an independent podcast app that isn't owned by Apple or Amazon or Spotify.
I love Overcast. Right. It's great. You'll pry it from my cold, dead hands. Hey, whatever happened to Pocket Cast? Are they still around?
Yeah, they got bought by like a group that
was pretty much it.
Well,
now I think this is a recognition amongst people that, you know, yeah, these are old time podcasters, but I mean, I think there's a recognition out there that these big companies or big tech is throwing around deals that really don't make sense for smaller podcasters
at all. No. No, but this is there. The minute you do what Spotify is doing, you're in the hits business. That's what it is. And you're going to get true crime and celebrity content. That's it. That was the constant battle I had with my own podcast network. I know how this works. And that was not even a closed system. It's just,
I found it interesting that their pitch is, One part of their pitch is you can access the music catalog.
Yeah, but from what I understand, you can't talk over the music. You know, there's a whole bunch of different restrictions.
And if you ever leave, you got to redo all of your back catalog.
There's that. But also, again, I like looking forward. You know, I'm looking forward to Abel Kirby with a value block split on this new album.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to meeting the developer who creates that front end to what we're already doing and make it just pure music.
Speaking of Abel Kirby, we want to do some thank some people.
Yes, this is a very good idea. It is indeed time.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
It is value for value all the way on Podcasting 2.0. If you're new and you made it this far, we like the value just as much as everybody else. You can do that with a brand new podcasting app at newpodcastapps.com. There's a lot of different ones to choose from, certainly the ones that do value for value. And if you do prefer to use your fiat fund coupons, go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom, there's a red donate button, and you can send it to us via PayPal. And we really like thanking everybody who is supporting the entire mission of Podcast Index. The drive behind the namespace, the Mastodon, and of course the podcast, the board meeting, which is again for all the producers who are always welcome. Who do we have? Are you going to do boostograms first, or what are we doing?
No. I'm going to do we got one PayPal this week. One
one off. So what we're doing is we're shifting to boostograms, and we're going to go poor doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. I was afraid of that. We're going to have fun. That's right. Okay. Thank God Bitcoin's going up. It compensates.
$114 from Super Nerd Media. $114.49.
Okay.
And I don't know if he wants me to give his real name, so I'm going to say just Super Nerd for now, because I can't tell from the note. But he says, it's the first donation note for $114.49.
All right.
Please accept this donation, which is $100 for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We got you on the list. I wonder if we're having, hadn't talked to Ari, but I wonder if we're having supply chain issues
with the t-shirts. Let me defragment this person first.
You've been defragmented.
First time. Thank you very much.
T-shirt plus $10, which I hope covers shipping and handling, and $4.49 because you don't need to be paying PayPal tax. I got your back.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for all the work that you and Adam are doing in the index. And thank you for the PC 2.0 podcast. Your soliloquy, "They don't care about us. We're only numbers in a spreadsheet to them," was one of the best summaries of the us versus them situation I've heard. And I hope you don't mind that I clipped and played that on the Barnhart podcast. Thank you for your courage and go podcasting.
Oh, hoy. Go podcasting!
Barnhart podcast.
Ever since I published that little package of jingles, they're showing up everywhere.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
And they're loud.
I love it.
Loud.
Yeah, it's really funny when you have a normalized podcast volume, and then all of a sudden it's
go
like,
podcasting. Yeah.
Don't laugh. Why are you laughing? Shut up.
That's it. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Let's see. Anonymous plebe sent us 10,000 sats.
Oh, we're into the boostergrams. Okay, anonymous plebe. Yeah.
He said, been streaming sats for months. Thanks for the podcasting 2.0 rabbit hole, anonymous plebe.
All right.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. God, we got some.
And by the way, for people who are not boosting, thank you for streaming Satoshis in real time as well, obviously. We love getting the value back.
Heck yeah. And you drop us a little tiny, 50 sat boost sometime and leave a message if you want to.
Yeah.
Boost!
Gary Arndt said, he sent us 1776.
Ah, Le Patriot boost. Hold on.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
Now, you did a 1776 boost and played the French.
I know,
over the top. You're rubbing it in their face, aren't you?
Well, we did learn the Republic from them. Let's be honest. It was their idea first.
Yeah, they just had to take it one step too far and start killing people for being Christians and get rid of the calendar.
Okay, but they also cut off the heads of their leaders. So, there's some other good things they did.
True. Okay, all right. Fair enough. We'll declare a stalemate on this one.
Okay.
Podcasting 2.0 is changing everything. The future is here. Most people just don't know it yet. I agree, Gary.
Of course. That's how it goes. We're in for the long haul.
Who we got? Anonymous for 1,000 sats through Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And Anonymous just says, okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll take it. That's good.
It's some weird ass boostergrams.
Okay. I think did the Podland guys get a really rude one that they didn't want to read?
Man, I was hoping they would. You got to read that stuff.
But the thing that's great, though, and James understands this, he said, I'll take your money anyway, even though you said something horrible to me. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. That makes you feel kind of okay about it. If every troll gave you 10,000 sats with every troll they did, you'd be like, okay, hit me with another.
It's like somebody just getting all up in your grill and just treating you like garbage and then buying you a beer afterwards. I mean, like,
exactly.
Somehow it's okay.
And here's a beer.
Yeah. Abel Kirby sent us 5,000 sats.
Oh, man, thank you.
Through CurioCaster, and he says, I tried to make a podcast using clean feed and Bluetooth, but there is no way to get high quality audio and a microphone running at the same time. It's a huge, annoying oversight.
Yeah, Bluetooth is scary, man. It's scary. You know, there was in the beginning when I really started to use the noise gate as a part of my overall podcast sound, I'd get a lot of emails saying, dude, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you send out zero bytes through the system, my Bluetooth thinks we're done and it shuts off. So there'd be a pause. Yeah, so there'd be a pause, for like a second or two. I love pauses. Everyone can think, people are like, what happened? And then usually it picks back up, but it was just cutting out. So yeah, there's problems with Bluetooth.
Oh, that's funny. Dreb Scott, 55,000 sats through CurioCaster. He's a machine gun. He just will not stop.
All right, so Dreb Scott, who is a big part of this movement, because he has been really showing everybody how cloud chapters work, how they work separate from the podcast. He does them for this podcast, for the No Agenda show. He does it for MoFax. He does it for the show with Layla and her dad, the Fun Fact Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fun Fact Friday. He's always, and we have him in the split for all of these shows. He's always supporting. I mean, I think this guy is probably like a Bruce Wayne type.
He's got
to be a billionaire. He's got a bat cave. Yep. He comes out from time to time. Chapters. And then he goes back to his cave and then he's hosting a party with all these beautiful models and politicians and Hollywood people. That's what I think Dreb Scott is. He's a very mysterious man.
He just every now and then, somewhere, wherever he lives, he just blows through the waterfall in the automobile,
launches the Drebmobile.
Yeah, the Drebmobile has a night on the town and then comes back.
I do want to say Dreb, and I said this to the clip custodian too. I said, when you need to take a break, just take it.
Don't burn out.
Please, just shoot us an email. It'll all be fine. Take the break. You know, I was so happy. The clip custodian, he took a 2-week break. That was 4 shows. And I was so happy he did that because I've seen it happen. People participate. And now, of course, we have a relationship because clip custodian and Dreb, they're getting 5% of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's interesting how much better it works when that's in place. Because I've seen people burn out like crazy, and I would say you're going to burn out, man. You just stop. But when there's a financial relationship involved, even though it's pretty ad hoc, you know, we have no paperwork or anything. Actually, I think we will send the 1099 or something to Dreb. Eric has that covered, I hope, or I presume. That relationship makes it better somehow, not worse.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Anyway, Dreb, you're a gem, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that his note just says go podcasting.
Of course it does, and we will let you know.
Go podcasting.
Love you, Dreb. Okay, through Breeze Anonymous. Let's see here. Okay, video podcast host. Yes, this is for this. I'm discombobulated. 1,223 sats. Through Breeze. It says, video podcast host, yes. I was blown away when I started putting clips from MM on 3Speak. Oh, I know who this is.
Oh.
Mere Mortals.
Oh, that okay. Wait, he's already on 3Speak now with the Hives?
Evidently.
Wow. All right.
Which I have to register a complaint with the Department of Hive. Brian, you were not the world's first value-for-value video-enabled platform. That title belongs to
No Agenda
Alex Gates with NATube. Yes.
But I'm happy to hear, and I mean this, he's getting paid.
Oh, he's getting some jack.
I didn't know he was getting, he's got the bag, man. Brian from London, the bag man.
The bag man. Now I get it.
So yeah, now I know.
The press tour.
Yeah. Oh, this is his press. So first he got the award, which is a nice award, by the way. You can make up to 30 grand, he said, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's 75 trillion Hive.
And now he's doing a victory lap. He's doing a little press tour, a little PR, let everyone know. And that, congratulations, man. I think he's the first one to exit. He's the first exit from podcasting 2.0. No, very well. Very good.
Exit strategy.
I'm proud of that. I think that's fantastic. I love that. I want everybody to make money. Everybody should be making money on this.
And it makes Podping a better product.
Hell yeah.
Bill Prague sent us 2,000 sats. And he says, and that's through Podfriend. He says, that is how media creates drama. There was no hate. I was actually thanking Daniel for the lightning info. It is just too complicated for me. I understand simple things like Hive. Sorry for spamming. Go podcasting. No, you're exactly right. This we create drama. That's what makes Boostergrams exciting, Bill. Yes.
Exactly. Does that mean the contest is over? Are we done now? I like monetizing hate. That was so much fun.
Monetizing hate. Yes.
It's built right into the protocol, everybody.
Boostergram.
If you send us a Boostergram, we're going to twist it to our own ends.
That's right. We will make hate out of it.
Yes. Brian of Lundus and his 2,000 sats, and he says, Podping is the gateway drug. Yes, it is.
Thanks, Brian.
What I want to say is,
he's plugging his stuff again. He's plugging his contract.
He has 75 trillion Hive. We only get 2,000 sats out of that. Come on, brother.
I don't mind him saying that, but when he says, you know, the useless calculations of Bitcoin. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, Hive Master.
Kyle Abair sent us 10,035 sats through Castomatic. He says,
I wish you could try.
Hallelujah. Do what?
I wish I could try Castomatic. It's iOS only, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you can't.
I hear good things about it. People like it.
Oh, it's great. I use it a lot.
Yeah.
I like the Boostergram editor in it because it's full screen and I get a lot of place, a lot of space to type.
Nice. Nice.
Cal Abear sends 10,035 sats through Castomatic.
Thanks, man. Today, that's a lot of money today.
Oh, no. He's about to outdo himself in a minute. Get ready.
Uh-oh.
Put your seatbelt on.
Okay.
He says, hallelujah, it's raining sats. Whip out your umbrella. Okay, umbrella.
Woohoo!
Respect the bro node.
The bro node?
Yeah, I like the bro node.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Let's see. That's a duplicate. A double printed.
All right.
Okay. All right. Again, I'm moving on here. Anonymous through Breeze, 10,000 sats. It says boost from the Breeze app. Nice work, boys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you know, you help out everybody when you boost.
That's a good point that I don't know if people understand. When you boost, everybody down the chain also gets their cut. So the app gets their percentage. The podcaster gets their percentage. The index, we get a percentage for the API. And in anybody, if you do the full boost, like through Breeze, then everybody that's in the split also gets a percentage. So like that's, yeah, you're sharing the love.
You're sharing the love. Yeah. This is literal love.
Brian of London, 333 sats.
And
he says, I have to boost my debut on podcasting 2.0. Yes, you did.
Thank you.
And you did. Let's see. Who is this?
Hey, we put him in the split. That all worked. That went reasonably painless. I didn't realize I had to give put in a special key and value for him. I just taken his, I forget even, oh, he just sent me, I just got his node ID and I put it in. I didn't pay attention. And then we republished the feed with the correct information, which I just put in the split editor on CurioCaster, worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. He was getting sats and you could see it flow all the way through to that damn Hive machine.
All the way.
the little mouse trap
flipped and the little thing came down the pole.
Ping pong ball fell on the spoon. The spoon the tickled the cat.
And laid an egg. Okay. Let's see. Franco Solario sent a cluster of boostergrams.
Franco, he hooked me up with the Italian podcast festival. I think I got his name. I think I got it wrong on the last show.
Okay. He said he sent 4,489 sats. 2,689 sats, 3,585 sats, 905 sats.
Wow, what's he doing?
He's evidently testing his app.
Are these numbers of any importance?
I don't know.
It was just random.
1,792 sats, 896 sats.
Maybe random. Any messages?
The message is all the same on every one of them. It says, greetings from Festival de Podcasting.
Ah, viva la podcast!
This is Italian, so, is Viva, is that Italian?
That's what asked me, that's what they asked me to say.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Viva Podcasting.
I'm so bad at languages. 5,377 sats.
He's just saying the same message with random numbers. Is he having a stroke, maybe? What's going on?
If you smell almonds, seek medical help.
Yeah. Or call us. Don't boostagram us.
Yeah. I don't know how many that is altogether. Yeah, that's like when you call the doctor and they're like, if you have an emergency, don't leave a message. Call 911.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know how much altogether. That's a bunch.
We love it, man. Thank you. Thank you very much. And it was fun. It was fun doing my little bit there. I hope the guys got some nice feedback. I have no idea how that went. There's no Italians emailing me, so who knows?
Well, that might be good. They're not emailing you with hate.
What's this? It's Pick on Adam week.
No, it's 5,000 sats, anonymous through Breeze, and it says, my first V for V boost, Dame Jennifer is irresistible.
Woohoo!
I wonder if this is the. If that's from the top secret boyfriend.
The new BF. I'm going to meet the new BF. Yeah, I'm going to meet the new BF at the ball strap meetup.
Oh, is she coming out there?
Yeah.
Well, that's a long. That's
230 people are coming.
Holy cow!
They had to stop. They said no more. No one else can come. We're full.
Yeah, it's going to end up being like Woodstock '99.
They have a parking attendant.
Jeez, dude.
These people are super, man.
Yeah, because you're gonna end up having to get permits.
I'm thinking I should probably go strapped. You know, it's like a lot of people there. Could be some idiots. I gotta be packing heat.
It starts as a meetup, and before you know it, it's a shootout.
It's a shootout. Yeah. An insurrection. Oh yeah. Well, there will be spooks there for sure.
Sir Pete sent us 5,000 sats through the Fountain app, and he says, "Love the story of Brian of London. Going to go try some emojis now. Go podcasting."
All right.
Go podcasting.
Thank you, Sir Pete.
Sir Pete has been around a long time. He's been with us a long time.
An 1776 boost anonymous through Breeze. Oh, it's not anonymous. This is from Max Hillebrand.
Ah, hello, Max. He says,
"Love you guys. I'll shower you with impossible feature requests too." Well, thanks, Max.
Spraying the sats.
Yeah, man. Liberty sats. Oscar Mary gave us a sack of twos,
and which I heard is also a row of ducks.
Oh, is that what the? That's. I can see it.
Yeah. So if you do a 2260, that's a duck duck go donation.
I like that one too.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Oscar. No message.
We understand. You don't always have to say it. We know. We love you too. We love you too.
I mean, he's been programming. He didn't have time to write a message. Franco Solario again, 1,000 sats, and he says, "It was actually me hooking up Adam with the Italian Festival to podcast."
There he is.
And the intro in Italian was great.
Oh, okay. So my joke did work.
Okay, good. We have independent confirmation that the joke went off. So you're good. Chad Farrow, 3,333 sats through Fountain. He says, "Adam and Dave, can we please have a moment of silence for the pod friend iOS beta?"
No,
you can't. No, it's been resurrected.
It's okay. It's okay. Actually, but that's why I asked you earlier, because I always have that at the ready. But no, it's back. There's no need to play taps.
The reports of its death were premature.
Yes.
2,200
and exaggerated. And exaggerated.
2,200 from sats were from anonymous through the Podfriend app. It says, how much Satoshis are flowing through the systems daily?
I don't know anymore.
I can get that information for the next show.
Yeah,
it's all in the database.
What would be most interest to me is number of transactions. And then, obviously, if we can break out streaming by boosts, and then it's never going to be, it's just going to be approximate, right?
Any sats.
But I think the number of transactions is extremely interesting to me. It's like hash rate for Bitcoin, you know?
Let's see.
Are you doing SQL as we speak? Select no, star
at,
from.
I'm looking at our daily select star.
From.
Do more of that, please.
Star. I told you, okay. I once did RMSH.
All right. Oh, yeah. Don't do
that. That was bad.
Okay. We had a total of, over the last 24 hours, we had 2,711 transactions at
Say that again?
16 sats.
Wait a minute.
Over the last 24 hours, we had 2,711 transactions.
2,711 transactions. And the average was 16 sats?
Sats, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The 24 hours before that was 781 transactions with an average of 178 sats. So I'll have to.
Yeah,
have
you got to do some wizardry.
Do some average. Yeah,
got to do some wizardry on this, and that's just our system. But then we have to extrapolate that for how everyone else is doing. Do we have any idea?
Those are original amounts coming through, so that I'm not sure that represents
anything.
In, but right. Yeah, so let me. I'll bring stats next time.
Cool.
Let's see. Anonymous through Breeze. Oh, it's not anonymous. It says. 3,300 sats. He says, "So cool. So cool to hear your own. Oh, here. So cool to hear your own boost came true about the nerdy stuff." Terry at NA Social.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Okay. Boost. Here is Kyle Abair. 100,000 sats.
Holy crap. I wasn't ready for this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He says, Bala, Shakala. That's 20-inch blades on the Prius Prime. Go Bala, effing podcasting.
Shakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Go podcasting! Actually, I'm sorry.
You're good. Go ahead.
Well, I talked to Mo about it.
Is he okay with it?
Yeah, of course. I said, Mo, I just want to tell you, man, we've been stealing this for podcasting 2.0. He said, No. We share. We lend and borrow. He says, I know we're doing Mo Karma. Where'd you think that came from? I said, good point.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're not a gamer, so you're not going to get this reference, but there's a game called Marvel versus Capcom, which is like, it has these crazy, like, moves where you like launch an attack at somebody and the whole screen shakes and crap's blowing up and there's lasers.
Oh, nice.
And all kinds of crap coming out. Like, this is what I see in my head when Kyle Hebert sends 100,000 sats, because he's the voice of Dragon Ball Z guy.
So I just see this right.
Explosion of sats coming through, you know, and like shaking the screen and everything, like, and, you know, just, you know, Satoshi Blast. It's just some kind of huge, you know, crazy crap.
Well, for me, that would be Street Fighter 2, Dalsim.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, that's where I kind of left gaming. I was pretty good at that. Quack, quack. You know, Dalsim had that long ass leg that could come out.
Yeah, and the fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that guy. He was good.
Thank you, Kyle. Man, that was awesome. James Cridlin, 2,222
Sakatoos.
Nice. Through the fountain app. And, four ducks. He just says, go podcasting.
Uh-huh. Go podcasting! Thank you, James.
James, I want to hear the rude boostergram.
Yes. Yeah. What's wrong with you, man? Sounds cool.
See, Anonymous. No, that was me.
You sent the rude boostergram?
Yeah, I did. Oh, Kyle. I don't know if this is Kyle Hebert or not. It just says Kyle. But he said, love the work you guys are doing. If y'all want some fresh cranberries, let me know. I grow them and it's harvest season.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd love some cranberries. Definitely. I would too. Definitely. That's one thing, man. Podcasters and their listeners, it's amazing how many homemade products you wind up with. I've got everything from cheese that's homemade to CBD, Solve, to holsters. I mean, there's nothing people don't make. I love it. And they're always sharing that stuff.
Yeah, I love cranberries, and it keeps the urinary tract nice and clean. Right?
Okay. TMI. TMI.
We've got 100 sat boost from Anonymous through Breeze, and the message is butthead.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I don't know if he's talking about you or me, but whatever.
It's all right. It makes one of us Beavis, so I guess it's just as bad.
And so Booberry sent me a note, and he said that he sent what I think is an 80,000 sat
what
boost
sat streamer,
but I don't. He says he's not sure if his note got attached, and I couldn't find it in my email. So I'm gonna get it. This happened before one time with Dreb Scott, and I had to get in the database and find it.
Did you find the payment or just not the note?
I found it. I ended up finding it all.
Oh, okay.
And so I need to dig for it. So this came in late, right before the show. So I'm going to have to go look for that. Okay. I'll bring it next week. Okay. Burberry.
All right.
Monthly donors. The supreme leader of the Podverse, Mitch Downey, $10.
Thank you, Mitch.
Chris Charabarak. Chris, I would love for you to send me an email and tell me where the name Charabarak comes from.
Mm.
Because that's an interesting name. $10. Jeremy Kavanaugh, no relation to the Supreme Court Justice, $10. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Oh, Alex Gates, Sir Alex Gates, the Podcasting 2.0 consultant, $25.
is that I didn't know that was his moniker.
Yeah, that's his official title.
Oh, fantastic. I love that, 2.0 consultant. Yeah, that's right. I need to know, because when someone asks me, I can say, well, I know a consultant I could hook you up with. Oh, I hook up all my consultant buddies. Are you kidding me?
David Norman, $25. I feel like for David.
How's David doing?
I don't know. He just pipes in every now and then with a little bit of love.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like we need some kind of Fletcher hyper catcher, like some kind of, you know,
to make sure he's still alive. Just to make sure David has a pulse. Mm-hmm. He's got a kid. He's barely alive. Trust me.
That's true. Yeah. Derek J. Visker, great name, $21. Paul Saltzman, our buddy, $22.
Yep. Same, always there. Thank you, Paul.
Damon Kasajak, another great name, $15. Soren Mueller, $10. I feel like, I don't know what country he's from, but
Sweden.
I feel like that's
Sweden.
Is that it? Okay. It's like Soren, son of Odin, or some kind of like.
Soren, well, does the O have a line through it?
Yes.
Okay, Sweden.
Okay.
Just guess.
Jeremy Gerds, $5, and Thomas Sullivan Jr., $5.
Wow. Thank you all. Thank you so much for keeping the project moving forward. All we ever asked for is time, talent, treasure, a lot of you brought all three. And so appreciated. Love the boostergrams. You're seeing how it can be done. It works. And you're all making it happen. And we should all be making little bits of pieces of Satoshis. I just love it.
We are.
I love it. I love it. I love that we're stacking them, man. I can't say it enough. What are we at? Where did we start off with this show? What was Bitcoin?
Oh, 16,000. Is that right?
No,
I don't remember.
It's now 61,400.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll crash down again. Don't worry. Whatever you do, don't get happy. That's not going to make it. That's not going to. But, you know, from a technical perspective, I can see 73 and then 100 something.
Do you have these pictures in the clip list?
Pictures?
There's an Adam Curry and a Brett Weinstein.
Oh, Weinstein? Oh, I do see Adam Curry. Let me see.
Okay, so don't open the Adam Curry
yet. I have not opened it. I'm closing it without looking. Yep, okay.
Open the Brett Weinstein.
Brett Weinstein.
These are just, I don't remember how I got these, but these are from Google. Do you see the description on the left, the bio?
American podcaster?
Yeah, Brett Weinstein, American podcaster. Now open the Adam Curry and see what it says you are.
Okay. I'm an announcer.
Yeah.
Brett Weinstein. And ladies and gentlemen, on this corner, we've got Brett Weinstein, the American podcaster. I'm Adam Curry, the announcer. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. You are not a podcaster. You're an announcer.
I'm an announcer. I don't know. I think that's kind of a step down. Announcer sounds pretty lame.
I think it does.
That's like thanks, worse. Google. It's worse than MTV VJ.
Yeah, thanks, Google. Announcer.
It probably says that on my Wikipedia or some crap like that. Yeah. Which you're not allowed to change yourself.
I got to go back to work.
So. Yeah, I know. You've got to go save the world. Make sure that no one pays too much tax. Dave, thank you so much for everything you've been doing. Certainly in these past 2 months where I know that you had a September 15th corporate tax deadline and then the October 15th. And you're so slick at everything you do that I even forgot you had a job. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
I actually still have one.
Yes. Well, and I'm glad.
My family's really thankful for that.
Yes. Brother, I hear you. You are the pod sage. Have a great weekend, Dave.
Yeah, you too, man. All right. See you next time.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here once again for the board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. We return next week, bring you all the latest that's happening with Podcasting 2.0. Till then, take care.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Well, I fell into a podcast ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. Podcast Ring of Fire.